Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. This is Gail Martin coming to you with today's segment of In the Green Outdoors. Looking out at the bare ground, which has mostly been a muddy mess this winter, I have been plotting which plants are going to go in new beds and which seeds I need to focus on for cold stratification in the next month. While I'm always thankful that the winter brings some rest to my usually hectic life, planning for the next season brings me a great deal of pleasure. I have many happy memories of the pollinators I saw in my gardens last year, and it has struck me that even though I have hundreds of environmentally important plant species growing on my property, I need to do a better job of supporting some of my pollinator friends. So today I want to talk about those friends, and I want to talk about specialist versus generalist bees and explore how we can all assist many types of pollinators. I think it's important when planting a garden that you consider species that support specialist, not just generalist pollinators. Bees are our most important pollinator, whether they're a generalist or a specialist. Now, a generalist, as the name implies, visits a variety of plants to gather pollen. And a specialist, on the other hand, has evolved a relationship with one or only a few plant species. These specialist bees emerge from their nests at the same time that their host plant begins to flower. And the host flower sometimes depends specifically on pollination from that bee species, just as that bee depends on the pollen from that flower. So on the other side of the spectrum, generalist bees, they're not too picky about which flowers they visit, and they often visit a wide range of flower types and species when out seeking pollen. A generalist bee is by far the most abundant bee you're going to see in your garden. Now, since specialists tend to focus on one species or family of flowers, they're driven by the necessity of finding that one food source. These pollinators seem to be specially made just to pollinate those specific plants. And in these cases, the plant is reliant on that pollinator to visit it and pollinate it. On the surface, it would seem that specialists are limited, but the reality is that specialist pollinators are more efficient and effective at gathering pollen than species that visit a variety of flowers. I'd like to introduce you to a few of those specialist bees. My first bee is the Jacob's Ladder Minor Bee. The Jacob's Ladder plant has beautiful lavender blue bell-shaped flowers that cover the plant for several weeks in early spring. Jacob's Ladder attracts nearly every type of bee with its lovely blooms, but it also has a specialist Adrenid bee that only feeds on species in the Jacob's Ladder family. Early spring flowering perennials like Jacob's Ladder, along with spring pollen producing trees, are vital food sources for our first emerging bees in April. So you can support, with Jacob's Ladder, you can support generalist bees as well as that specialist Adrenid bee. And then there's the little spring beauty mining bee, which specializes in collecting pollen from spring beauty plants. Spring beauties are a woodland spring ephemeral wildflower, which means they come up and they're gone in a relatively short time. This spring, I challenge you to find a patch of spring beauties and just hang out for a while and watch that spring beauty bee. Those bees are easy to spot. All you have to do is look for bright pink pollen on their legs. And this often abundant species of flower occupies deciduous forests, but also you can find it in a backyard or a semi-urban setting. And these bees are going to be there wherever the spring beauty is, because spring beauty bees nest in the ground near the plants, and they're only active when the flower is blooming. And since spring beauties have such beautiful pink pollen, it's pretty easy to spot that bee. Now, another specialist bee, the hibiscus bee, has a very solitary lifestyle. It's often called the rose mallow bee, and it's often overlooked, and sometimes it's mistaken for a small bumblebee because it kind of resembles one. As its name suggests, this bee concentrates on foraging only on our native hibiscus flowers, particularly rose mallow or swamp rose mallow. It does, however, like morning glories and ironweed occasionally as well. Now, then there are the longhorned bees, and these bees are specialists, and they have a unique gift. The males have a very long antenna that makes them specially equipped to pollinate composite flowers. Now, composites are specifically flowers that contain smaller flowers within the main bloom. Think of a sunflower. There are a few species of these longhorned bees that specialize in pollinating daisies and asters as well. And longhorned bees are the most abundant when these types of flowers are in bloom during late summer. Speaking of late summer, in August, it is really easy to find the blooms of ironweed out along roadsides and meadows. And if you walk up to an ironweed plant in bloom, you just might hear a really high-pitched buzz. And out of the corner of your eye, you might catch a quick dash and movement, and a glimpse of a longhorned bee that has frosty blue eyes. Now, this bee is a pollen specialist of ironweeds and probably is one of Ohio's most interestingly beautiful bees. When you look at them from a distance, they have an overall kind of grayish cast. They're very fast, and they tend to light only briefly on the blossoms. And this bee also is a solitary ground nesting bee. But they're pretty easy to ID once you get used to spotting them. And you'll notice on their legs, the pollen of ironweed is uniquely white. In conclusion, I want to remind you that if our landscapes become devoid of native plants, we will lose these specialists. The survival of these bees depends on the preservation and restoration of our natural plant communities. If the host plants disappear, so will the bees that rely on them. And if the bees disappear, so too will the plants that rely on those bees. As the plant communities of Ohio are destroyed to support housing developments and other construction, the bee species are going to continue to disappear. If we want to reverse the damage we have done to plant and animal communities, we need to start small. And every one of us can be a part of the change if we approach it armed with seeds, plants, and shovels. Remember, if you plant it, they will come. And with that, I conclude this segment. This is Gail Martin signing off for In the Green Outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.